Well, you know, I found that some of these texts, they kind of interchangeably use, not interchangeably, where you expected there to be an error in the committee Christmas and vice versa. You know, like...
Well, here's what I got from Bergen.
Hopkins uses two existence for the term that we use for inheritance, even in Tibetan, like when you converse it in English.
Yeah.
So I like that, you know, I kind of, because, yeah, anyway.
But Derek Gensler made it really clear that true existence is a separate thing from these other three.
Oh, okay.
So the definition that I got from Bergen for true existence is existence established by something's own uncommon manner of abiding on its own side,
yeah,
without it also being imputable.
That's right. I
by
did
the
read
power
that.
Of the mind,
yes,
projected.
Yes, that's right. Which is what I also saw.
Yeah, and so to me that seemed to be saying that, you know,
well,
it's got to have these two things that by definition can't coexist.
Well, right. So what the Tathagata said is that first you have to have the established base on which the object is imputed, and then you have to have an unmistaken mind in whatever consciousness, you know, unmistaken consciousness to experience, to cut, you know.
And guess what gave us a hint that unmistaken mind is part of the answer. So I mean, there
okay.
are something there.
Right.
I think.
and so I didn't put all the stuff, you know, kind
yeah,
of in my
sure,
English,
sure.
Because but when I was reading it. So what they said was that if you have one or the other, it's not, you know, you can't have, you, because they say that everything appears in to the mind, right? Without
mm-hmm.
the mind, there is no possibility, right?
Right. If there's no consciousness, there
right.
is no
so,
thing.
So given all that, then when you do impute it on a base, to impute it on a base, something has to be in the base.
Right.
And that's
because they're saying
yeah.
that there has
so
to be
that's what I was
things.
Right. So that's
right.
what. So I didn't go into the mind part of it, you know, because I was just trying to kind of see. So I think that I'm not sure we're contradicting or disagreeing.
Well, I just felt like in what you wrote, like I said,
it might not have been clear enough. It might not have been complete enough.
May we thinking of this generation eradicates all obstacles, negative karma. Thus to you unsurpassed Vajrasattva, I make prostration. Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manupalaya Vajrasattva Deno Pita Trido Me Bhava Sudo Kayo Me Bhava Subo Kayo Me Bhava Anurakto Me Bhava Sarva Siddhi Me Prayata Sarva Kama Sutane Chidra Shriya Kuru Hum Ha 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 Ho Bhagavan Sarva Tataka Bhagama Me Muzha Bhagama Bhavama Samaya Sadhu Ahum Te Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manupalaya Vajrasattva
てもばけたてどめばわそぼかよめばわそぼかよめばわあよらどめばわさわしてめばさわかますさめちたむしやころはははほばがわなさわたたばだまめむざんばだまわまさまやさどあふてお
Baja sapa samaya manu halaya
Baja sapa te na ba te ta tu do me ba wa Subo kayo me ba wa Subo kayo me ba wa Anurabdo me ba wa Sawasi de me ba Sawaka masu zame Chita shi ya kuru Ha 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 ho bhagavana sarvatata Vajrama me muzam vajrama va maha samaya Sato ahunte Om bhajra sato samaya manya palaya Bhajra sato dinava tita chuta me bhava Chuta kaya me bhava subha kaya me bhava Anurabdha me bhava sarvasiddhi me bhaya Sarvakama sutame chidam shiya kuru Ahahaho bhagavana sarvatata Bhajrama me muzam bhajrama bhava maha samaya Sapa
ahum pe
Om bhajra sato samaya manipalaya Bhajra sato dinava tita chudha me bhava Subo kayo me bawa, subo kayo me bawa, anurabdha me bawa, sarvasiddhi me bawa, sarvakama sutame chitam shiya kuru, ahahaho bhagavana sarvatata, vajrama me muzam vajra bawa maha samaya sato ahute.
Bhajra sapa
samaya manipalaya Bhajra sapa dinava tita chudha me bhava Sudha kaya me bhava Subha kaya me bhava Anurabdha me bhava Sarvasiddhi me bhava Sarvakama sutta me chitam shiya kuru Ahaho bhagavana sarvatata Bhajrama me muzam bhajrama bhava maha samaya sato ahumpe Sato samaya manipalaya Bhajra sato dinava tita chudha me bhava Sudha kaya me bhava Subha kaya me bhava Anurabdha me bhava Sarvasiddhi me bhava Sarvakama sutta me chitam shiya kuru Ahaho bhagavana sarvatata Bhajrama me muzam bhajrama bhava maha samaya sato Sato samaya manipalaya Bhajra sato dinava tita chudha me bhava Sudha kaya me bhava Subha kaya me bhava Anurabdha me bhava Sarvasiddhi me bhava Sarvakama sutta me chitam shiya kuru Ahaho bhagavana sarvatata Bhajrama me muzam bhajrama bhava maha samaya sato ahunte om
Bhajra sapa
samaya manipalaya Bhajra sato dinava tita chudha me bhava Sudha kaya me bhava Subha kaya me bhava Anurabdha me bhava Sarvasiddhi me bhava Sarvakama sutta me chitam shiya kuru Ahaho bhagavana sarvatata Bhajrama me muzam bhajrama bhava maha samaya sato ahunte om
Bhajra sapa samaya
manipalaya Bhajra sato dinava tita chudha me bhava Sudha kaya me bhava Subha kaya me bhava Anurabdha me bhava Sarvasiddhi me
praya cha sarvakama
sutta me chitam shiya kuru Ahaho bhagavana sarvatata Bhajrama me muzam bhajrama bhava maha samaya sato ahunte om
Bhajra sapa samaya
manipalaya Bhajra sato dinava tita chudha me bhava Sudha kaya me bhava Subha kaya me bhava anurato me bala sawa sidi me ba sawa kama sutra me sidrashi yankuru ha ha ho bhagavana sawa tada badrama me muda badrama bavama samaya sadu ahu pe om
bhajasapa samaya
manu balaya bhajasadu tino ba tita chudo me ba sudo kayo me bala subo kayo me bala anurato me bala sawa sidi me ba sawa kama sutra me sidrashi yankuru ha 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 ho bhagavana sava tada badrama me muda badrama bhavama samaya sadu ahu te om bhaja sadu samaya manu bala bhaja sadu tino ba tita chudo me ba sudo kayo me bala subo kayo me bala anurato me bala sava sidi me ba sava kama sutra me sitam shiya kuru ha 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 ho bhagavana sava tada badrama me muda badrama bhavama samaya sadu ahu
te om bhaja
sadu samaya manu balaya bhaja sadu tino ba tita chudo me ba sudo kayo me bala subo kayo me bala anurato me bala sava sidi me ba sava kama sutra me sitam shiya kuru ha 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 ho bhagavana sava tada badrama me muda badrama bhavama samaya sadu ahu te bhaja sadu samaya manu balaya bhaja sadu tino ba tita chudo me ba sudo kayo me bala subo kayo me bala anurato me bala sava sidi me ba sava kama sutra me sitam shiya kuru ha 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 ho bhagavana sava tada badrama me muda badrama bhavama samaya sadu
ahu pe om bhaja
sadu samaya manu balaya bhaja sadu tino ba tita chudo me ba sudo kayo me bala subo kayo me bala anurato me bala sava sidi me ba sava kama sutra me sitam shiya kuru ha 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 ho bhagavana sava tada badrama me muda badrama bhavama samaya sadu ahu
te om bhaja
sadu samaya manu balaya bhaja sadu tino ba tita chudo me ba sudo kayo me bala subo kayo me bala anurato me bala sava sidi me ba sava kama sutra me sitam shiya kuru ha 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 ho bhagavana sava tada badrama me muda badrama bhavama samaya sadu
ahu pe om bhaja
sadu samaya manu balaya bhaja sadu tino ba tita chudo me ba sudo kayo me bala subo kayo me bala anurato me bala sava sidi me ba sava kama sutra me sitam shiya kuru ha 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 ho bhagavana sava tada badrama me muda badrama bhavama samaya sadu ahu
te
om bhaja sadu samaya manu balaya bhaja sadu tino ba tita chudo me ba sudo kayo me bala subo kayo me bala anurato me bala sava sidi me ba sava kama sutra me sitam shiya kuru ha 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 ho bhagavana sava tada badrama me muda badrama bhavama samaya sadu
ahu pe om bhaja sapa
samaya manu balaya bhaja sadu tino ba tita chudo me ba sudo kayo me bala subo kayo me bala anurato me bala sava sidi me ba sava kama sutra me sitam shiya kuru ha ha ho bhagavana sava tada badrama me muda badrama bhavama samaya sadu
ahu pe om bhaja sapa
samaya manu balaya bhaja sadu tino ba tita chudo me ba sudo kayo me bala subo kayo me bala anurato me bala sava sidi me ba sava kama sutra me sitam shiya kuru ha 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 ho bhagavana sava tada badrama me muda badrama bhavama samaya sadu ahu te Please visualize deep down from your heart the Buddha Vajrasattva's calling your name, O my child. All the negative karma has been created in the from beginning to end is completely purified. All the mistake or negative karma has been created by unknowingly or done in Mishya Mumbai. Out of ignorance, out of not knowing, whatever the negative karma has been created, and may there be no, created this kind of negative karma has completely been purified. Reciting the voice of the mantra. So, Dhani Mishya Mumbai, Tamse Le Nyangashi Nyam, Allah, Dhani Mishya Mumbai, Tamse Le Nyangashi Nyam. Lama Gumbo Jamsa Jesu Vandu Jinsu Mane Tunji Jinsu Mane Jinsu Yata Lama Jinsu Lama Dajya Sembe Shane Rijya Bonshi Jinsu Jinsu Namse Nyam Jan Namse Jan Jan Nam Gumbo Jinsu Ne Rama Jinsu Rangin Gosunda Lama Dajya Sembe Gosunda Yeme Jaman Jiru. After the Buddha Vajrasattva dissolved into a center of our crown, they remain in the center of our heart forever. Sanjin Jodan Sanjin Chonam La Chanjo Pardon Dan Dagi Chishin Jebe Asunam Jin Dola Tinji Sanjin Dumaran Jo Sanjin Jodan Sanjin Chonam La Chanjo Pardon Dan Chazun Jin Dagi Chishin Jebe Asunam Jin Dola Tinji Sanjin Dumaran Jo Sanjin Jodan Sanjin Chonam Chanjua Padun Dhanin Jamsun Jin Bhakti Shishin Jibin Dhanan Benjong Sanjin Dhanbhaju Kankhetu Zenji Sanjin Dhanvatan Jambu Meche Dhanbhe Shunji Dhanse Bhangu Dhamdhe No Cha Tse Long Reciting Vajrasattva Mantras 21 times a day, so that will not just purify all the karma, stops karma to multiply. So that's very good. I think that's much more powerful than saying all the mandala. So I think it's good. It purifies, no? It purifies. So then, understanding of the text will be, I say, will be better. This is why Lama Tsongkhapa went to walk a shilling, where Lama Tsongkhapa did millions of prostrations. So Stephanie followed the footsteps of Lama Tsongkhapa, finished 1 million prostrations. So see, took a long time. Then, so how's the homework went?
Good. We were debating.
Did you find the definition of Dambartubha? What's the word Dambartubha in here?
Truly existent.
Truly existent. Did you find the definitions? In the Madhyamika Sarvastantika, how they define truly existence?
I have one that I think is right.
Can you read, please?
Yeah.
I'm curious.
Yeah, this is from the Virgin Archive. Existence established by something's own uncommon manner of abiding on its own side, without it also being imputable there by the power of the mind projecting it.
Oh, okay, this is good.
It's that top one.
Hmm. existence established by something's own uncommon manner of abiding on its own side. So, without its often being impeachable. There's no like unmistaking mind here. Huh?
Not in this part. But Chanka has one that's unmistakable.
Yeah,
that's unmistakable.
Say your.
So Geshe-la, I don't have a. I didn't find a text where I found a definition, but my what I understood from reading various texts.
Mm.
Was that what they say is that for things to exist conventionally, the established base has to have the characteristic of the imputed object has to be on the base, and that it has to appear to an unmistaken mind.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I found. And what I found my understanding was that if what they believe is that for something to be truly exist, for an object to be imputed, for something to be, you know, if I impute a prayer wheel on that established base, then that established base must have characteristics of that imputed object in the base.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they say that the prayer wheel truly exists conventionally in that way. But it has to appear, the uncommon mode of existence has to appear to an unmistaken mind. That also has to be there at the same time.
Truly existent, the Madhyamika Sarvastantika does not assert. All the Madhyamika schools, they don't assert truly existence. Mm. So, but unmistaken mind is a part of the definition. It's not really definite. It's like part of the definition. Like unmistaken mind is there. So that unmistaken mind, how you define unmistaken mind? So in the Madhyamika Sarvastantika, Madhyamika Prasangika, unmistaken mind only refers to the mind that sees emptiness directly. There's the only mind that's unmistaken. Besides that, every mind is mistaken. See? Madhyamika Prasangika point of view. Only mind that's unmistaken is mind that sees emptiness directly. Other than that, every mind that is mistaken. You know? Mistaken because every mind sees, you know, cannot see, like every mind, the object that appears to all the other mind, that object does appear as a true existence. Therefore, they are mistaken. You know? But Madhyamika Sarvastantika unmistaken mind, there's not only mind that sees emptiness directly. There's many more other mind that are unmistaken. So there's big difference how to define unmistaken mind between Madhyamika Sarvastantika and Madhyamika Prasangika. There's a big difference. So that's good to keep in your mind. Madhyamika Prasangika, there's unmistaken mind that sees directly emptiness. Other than every mind is mistaken. Why is mistaken? Because every mind object appears to them as true existence. No, because of that, it's mistaken. Oh. So, here, said, like I said, in Chitta Mata school, you talk about dualistic view, and here you talk about dualistic view, how you transform that. Truly existing view. Every mind, the way the object appears. Lord Nimela, now you're on the shop of Mom, you don't have too much to do. Lord Nimela, now you're on the shop of Mom, you don't have too much to do. Lord Nimela, now you're on the shop of Mom. Every existent thing is determined by unmistaken mind. See, every existent phenomena. Every existing things has approved by unmistaken mind. Madiminga first particle is unproved because, you know, prayer will is like approved by unmistaken mind. That mind that sees prayer, you know, that can be conceptual or can be as a direct perceivable.
Is that proved by?
Yeah. That's how they exist.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, existing objects very much depend on the subject, the mind. The mind is, because as a rabbit horn does not exist, because there's no kind of mind that support that. No, it's mind that sees rabbit horn is mistaken. So there's not valid as a mind that supports horn on rabbit. No, there's no horn on rabbit. So sometimes people do see there's horn on rabbit, but that mind is mistaken. That mind is not as a... So everything is approved by unmistaken mind. No? So therefore, in Madhyamika, substantial, and there's more unmistaken mind than mind that sees emptiness directly. Pasankika, every mind is mistaken. No, mistaken does not mean as a wrong. It does not right or wrong. It's mistaken because object appears. When the object appears to the mind, they appear as a true existence. Called denang. I'm not sure write it down denang. So that as a in the mind only school, do you talk about dualistic view? In here, Madhyaminga, you talk about as a there's three as a Minang Noobs, where's the dictionary? There's better translator, yeah. So Minang Noobs will go out. In mind only school, they talk about dualistic view. In Madhyaminga, Pasankika system, there's three of them. There's three of them, you know. You know, so there may be not much luck here. They only talk about dualistic appearances, mundane appearances. Couldn't even know that. So the dualistic appearances, there's like subject and object, distant of subject and object, right? So then on top of that, there's a mundane appearance here. There is a mundane, actually there's conventional appearances. Conventional appearances, the second one. Third one is truly existing appearances. There's three of them. In the Madhyamika, there's three of them. So mind that sees emptiness directly, there's three of those three. Look one more, so if we get lucky, so maybe something here. Sanyata. Don't just go. The wisdom of meditative equipoise, the wisdom of single-pointed concentration in the process of directly eliminating or having eliminated its respective object of abandonment. In general, there are two separate middle. So there's something to maybe take particular note. There's now in the, by the mundane appearance that no refers to conventional appearances. So then dualistic appearances, conventional appearances, then there's like truly existing appearances. Okay? There's three. So then mind that sees emptiness directly, that wisdom is free of those. That mind, what that mind only sees emptiness, ultimate truth. That mind don't see conventional truth, doesn't appear to that mind. That mind truly existing doesn't appear, conventional appearance doesn't appear. What is appear is just emptiness, that's all. There's no dualistic view. So then the mind only school, there's no dualistic, there's only dualistic view. So, so truly existing appearances, make sense? Truly existing appearances. Yeah, please, maybe we need all the help that we can get.
This chart, this is called Autonomy School? The Sponge, okay. So they're saying one column is ultimate existence, true existence as its own reality. So these, and true establishment is another category. Existence by way of its own character is another category. Inherent existence from its own side is another category. Oh, my goodness. And so then they're saying that this school does not believe in ultimate true existence as its own reality, does not believe in true establishment, does believe in existence by way of its own character.
Yeah, just go Rangchindo, yeah.
Yeah, Rangchindo. And inherent existence from its own side, they believe in that. Well, I'm having a hard time differentiating all these because, like, maybe nobody else is, but they're so.
These are the ones, Geshe-la, last week you were saying that prasangikas are all synonymous, right? And and then three of them are synonymous in autonomy, but not the true existence.
Yeah, autonomy is madhyamika sastantika, right? So now next two, last two. Has
existence by way of its own character.
No.
And inherent existence from its own side.
Yeah, these are, they assert, because now the definitions, the long, what is it, the definition Chukila has. So that's, they need to think about the definition. That's the definition of this last two. Panya is level. You level on something, you level prayer will. If you look for prayer will, you will find prayer will. Therefore, prayer will is next two, last two.
Existence by way of its own character.
Because of that, no. Panya tabis, no. Panya means level, tab means level. Leveling. Panya tabis. Tate, what is the tate means? That's the object. This object is the tattva. Then you, what you label is prayer will. Panya tattva. If you look for, you will find prayer will. Therefore, prayer will is, you know, exist for is on site.
So they're really then talking just about the label and the base they feel exist.
Hmm?
They don't feel that the label and the base ultimately exist.
Yeah, ultimately exist. So that means, you know, if something ultimately exists, that means you are saying, indirectly you are saying, oh, something that exists not depending on mind at all. Hmm? From their systems, you are what they are hearing when you say, oh, truly exists, what they are hearing is, you are saying, or something that exists doesn't approve by unmistaken mind. See? So, when you say in the autonomous Madhyamika or Madhyamika Sahasrantika, when you say the exists from its own side, they are hearing something different. They are saying, oh, you are saying the prayer will, if you look for prayer will, you are going to find the prayer will. That's what you're saying. So they have no problems. When you say truly exists, so they are hearing much more than that. They are hearing indirectly, you are saying that, oh, something that exists, not proven by unmistaken mind. See? So everything, that thing does not exist without depending on unmistaken mind. Because thing exists because it's like supported by unmistaken mind.
In what school?
In the Madhyamika Autonomous,
uh-huh.
Sahasrantika. See, the last two is synonym. Synonym. In the Pasankika system, these three are synonym. None of them exist. None of them. They don't assert any of those. Just they're not different. They're all same.
Right,
yeah. The Pasankika, ultimately. Pasankika is all same. But the Madhyamika Sahasrantika, there's a big difference between first and last two. Last two, they assert. The first one, you know, they say, that means you are talking about something that exists, doesn't approve by unmistaken mind. Why? Because that's their definition of true existence. In that school, true existence, definition of true existence, like something that exists, not proved by unmistaken mind. So from them, unmistaken mind doesn't refer to mind that sees images directly. It doesn't refer to that.
I don't really get the thing about the unmistaken mind, except that it would mean if they believe what Prasangikas believe, they would say that the mind can't see it, the mind can't interact with the prayer wheel at all.
Yeah, then you are saying there's some object that doesn't interact with the mind at all, they just exist.
Okay. So they see that as kind of nihilistic.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then, you know, if you debate this matter, unmistaken mind, how you define unmistaken mind? I always explain Prasangika point of view, unmistaken mind. There's only one unmistaken mind. Mind that sees emptiness directly, that's unmistaken mind. Why? This mind is free from dualistic view, free from mundane appearances or conventional appearances, and free from also free from two appearances. Two appearances. Denang. So, but the person, as far as the person is concerned, so the person is going to have this truly existing appearance till you reach enlightenment. That will go long, long. That's the last thing that you challenge right before you become enlightened. Called Denang. So that goes on and on and on and on. So now I will put some effort to find that Lord Nimila Naga Onge Shabu Maima. You don't get tumor maima delivering to us. It's here, a little bit here, that what the burden says, something's own uncommon. Tumor maima. That own uncommon, that excludes depending on mind. See? That's I think pretty good. What do you think? Oh yeah, so now I think need to move a little bit further down. So now the division, circular divisions, can you read?
Yes.
Hmm?
There are two divisions,
hmm.
Swatantrika, Svatantrika, Madhyamaka,
hmm.
and Yogacara, Svatantrika, Madhyamaka.
Mm-hmm. Is that the idea?
The definition of the former is a Madhyamaka who propounds a presentation of nominal existence for the most part in accordance with Svatantrika tenets.
Mm. So there's nothing much to explain. You know, the same as the Pani Dhimamsa. All the conventional parts of existence pretty much same as Svatantrika. That's why they are called, you know, Madhyamaka. Most of the conventional existence, they accept, guys. Relatively similar with the mind only school. That's called Yogacara Madhyamaka Yogacara. Madhyamaka Yogacara. No? Yogacara school, that's the mind only school. Yeah. Hmm? That Tambrit is Legdeji. What is called the first one? That example?
Yeah. The Svatantrika Bhava Viveka.
Bhava Viveka, that's the one. Calling one of the Indian masters, like Baba Viveka, so Lake Denji. Second one?
Shantarakshita.
No, Shantarakshita is Yishinimbo. Yishinimbo. Dabu Hoche.
Yishinimbo they don't give a translation for.
Yishinimbo, essence of wisdom. That's the essence of wisdom. That's somebody's name. So, Tene, Nivesi, Shivatso.
Shivatso is Shantarakshita.
Hmm? Sing Sambo.
Is Haribhadra.
Haribhadra, that's the one who wrote the wonderful commentary on ornament of clear realizations. That commentary has been commonly used. Sarah Debung Gandhi Monastery, when we are studying ornament of clear realizations, so that we people heavily rely on that commentary written by Haribhadra, not the Sing Sambo, no? Sing Sambo, isn't it? Jadi Kamalashila.
The etymology?
Yeah.
The reason why Bhava Viveka is said to be a Svatantrika Madhyamaka is that he is a Madhyamaka who asserts reasons that exist from their own side.
Mm. So there's nothing much to discuss. I think that's like we already discussed a little bit. Jadi, siapa ni jadi?
The mode of asserting object.
Fourth.
Yeah.
Can you read?
Existence by way of its own characteristic.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Rangasinituva.
Existence from its own side.
Hmm?
And natural existence.
These are
mutually inclusive.
Yeah, synonym or mutually inclusive. This is important to keep in your mind. Where? Madhyamaka Svatantrika. We are here. We are studying Madhyamaka Svatantrika. In that system, either one of them, you say the same. No, this is the mutually inclusive same. Rangasinga or Rangarajanthuva, because they assert all of them. No, they assert because the prayer will is.
Existing by way of its own characteristic.
Yeah, this prayer will is existing.
By way of its own characteristic.
Then second one.
Existing by from its own side.
Then third one.
And naturally existing.
Because if you look for, you are going to find. Mm-hmm. That's why. Oh. What is this? Say the definition. Sugila, you all the.
Yeah.
Because.
Any established base.
Huh?
Necessarily exists by way of its own character, because regarding any phenomena, if the imputed object is sought. It is findable.
That's why prayer will ease three of them. But it's not truly existence. So now makes sense, because it's not truly existence, so now resistance. Makes sense.
So truly existent. Existence established by something.
All over again. So this first particular prayer will is. Okay. Everybody, please listen. Prayer will is.
Existing by way of its own characteristic.
Okay, that's first one.
Existing from its own side.
No, second one.
And naturally or inherently existent.
Because
any established base necessarily exists by way of its own character, because regarding any phenomena, if the imputed object is sought, it is findable.
That's why. So now, what is not, prayer is not truly existent. That prayer is not truly existent because now, Shukla will read.
The existence established by something's own uncommon manner of abiding on its own side, without it also being imputable there by the power of the mind projecting it.
That makes sense? Huh? No. If you reread again, it will slowly make sense. Prayer will is not truly existent because
existence established by something's own uncommon manner of abiding on its own side, without it also being imputable there by the power of the mind projecting it.
Does it make sense, Chukla? Does it make sense?
I think so.
So maybe each one of us read, maybe thinking maybe it will make sense.
I have something else to get through.
Yeah. Yeah.
Page 70?
Yeah.
Prayer in the Madhyamika Sarvastantika system, prayer is not truly existent because, now, please say.
Because true existence is something that exists not by being posited through the force of appearing to an unharmed mind, but from its own side.
Unharmed mind is unmistaken mind.
Unharmed mind is a valid mind. So a form would be truly existent if it didn't need to be posited through the force of appearing to a valid mind, but it existed from its own side. The thing that messes me up is when it says it would exist from its own side, because we just talked about how they believe it does exist from its own side. So that it's that use of the word. You know what I mean? We just talked about how the very thing about its own side, that they do believe that things are existing by characteristics of their own side.
Mm.
Now they're saying, but true existence means that it, if it was truly existent, it didn't need to be posited through the force of appearing to the valid mind, but existed from its own side.
Mm. Does it make sense at all?
There's some difference between those two. That
If you read slowly, with thinking, it really makes sense.
So I think what finally clicked maybe for me is that what Geshe-la said, that when they say true existence, when they hear true existence, they hear something else. When they hear true existence, they're hearing that
that
the thing exists without a mind having to prove it or support it.
Yeah, just what they're hearing.
Yeah, and that's why they say, okay, that there can't be true existence. However, they agree with all the inherent existence existing on its own side and existing by its own nature, all that other ones.
You have to say it again. No, this is you have to repeat this again in order to get familiar with the mind. So say in Manasvita, you are already teach. No, you are like, you repeat after the teachers, you know, like hundreds of thousands of times. No, that's probably exaggeration. Probably not 100 times, not 100,000 times. Probably maybe close to 100 times. And they say, prayer will is, first put these things.
By way of its own characteristic.
Oh, prayer will is.
Existing by way of its own, from its own side.
And
naturally
no.
By way of its own characteristic.
Because, then you say this reason, because, no, so then when you look for, you're going to the long distance.
Yeah, it's
long,
findable.
Yeah, huh?
When it's sought, it's findable.
Yeah, the tanya tabe, tabe just need you evasion, you know. So then somehow they, you understand, okay, now that's the definition. So then truly existent. Now they say prayer really is not truly existent because.
It doesn't exist from its own side.
Rolo,
because it doesn't exist from its own side to an appearing valid mind.
To a valid mind. Yeah, the valid mind is called, sometimes it's called, probably should say unmistaken mind, no, the unmistaken valid mind. So they, what they're hearing, when you say truly existent, what they're hearing something that exists, not proven by valid mind. So they can think about anything that is not proven by valid mind. How is about flower in the sky? That doesn't exist. Even though some mind sees flower in the sky, that's mistaken mind. That's not unmistaken mind. So that's like the example, illustration of non-existence. It's like a star in the water, sky in the flower in the sky, or the horn on the rabbit head. These are like examples of non-existence. So now move on. Rangasini Prabha, Rangasini Prabha, Rangasini Prabha, Rangasini
Non-compounded space. True cessations.
Just cessation of Gogdenji, didn't it?
Past, future, and subtle selflessness. Are all non-affirming negatives as well as conventional truths.
Non-affirming negatives. So there's also another. People misunderstand emptiness because some people, you know, because emptiness is non-affirmative.
Non-affirming negative.
Emptiness is non-affirming negative. Emptiness, that's what emptiness is. And some people, they say, no, emptiness is something else. So that's how they get misunderstanding of emptiness. Emptiness is non-affirming negative. I think we already talked about this a little bit. I'm not sure if you remember. Gagpa means, you know, Tengis sombo nimo se mizawas. Tengis sombo nimo se mizawas. That's not good, I mean. Somebody is, it will make more confused. There's phenomena called Mayinga, Mega, Dhruva, there's three of them, you know. The emptiness is non-affirmative, negative.
Non-affirming, negative.
So, the cover here is, you know, see, that Den Purdue wrote this book about on the subject. Den Purdue, the professor Den Purdue wrote this thick book. If you read this book, there will be those, you will find this non-affirmative, negative, and there's something, and there's three of them, there's four of them actually. Then if you read that, then I think it'll help. So it's so like a different way of saying, say Patrick is, you know, one or another. So here now what we have like caste.
Mm-hmm.
Brahman, caste, or like I say Brahman caste, and also queen and king and queen, what they call royal caste. Somebody say, oh, Patrick is one of them, you know, either Brahman or how you say,
yeah.
Royal.
Yeah.
Patrick is either or Brahman or
either Brahman or royal.
Yeah. Patti is either Brahman or royal, but Patti is not Brahman. So, you understand what we are, what?
Royal.
See, oh, that's different. Oh, Patti is royal. You could say, oh, Patti is royal. You could say like that, Patti is royal. The different way of saying Patti is royal, you can say directly, or you can say Patti is either royal or Brahman, but is not Brahman.
Why would you say that?
So that's why I say. So trying to say. No. That's called what we say. Just said non-affirmative negative.
That's an example of a non-affirmative.
No. That's not an example. No.
That's an affirmative negative.
See, that's called Mayinga affirming negative. There's affirming negative, like hinting indirectly that Patrick is royal. No? So there's some affirming negative doesn't hint at all. So as like field without mountain. So there's affirming negative. No, it's like none has a field without mountains.
It doesn't imply anything else.
It doesn't imply anything. There's also another kind of has a.
So that must be the non-affirming negative, right? Because it doesn't imply anything else.
Same. That Patrick is either royal or Brahman, but not royal, not Brahman. So that's also what is that?
This should be an affirming negative. It's saying what it.
Yeah, affirming negative. There's no. That is like hinting something.
Right.
That's affirming negative. That doesn't hint anything. Say field without mountains.
So that would be the non-affirming negative, right?
No, he's saying that's.
Oh, that's a second kind of affirming negative.
Monks in Thailand, you know, the big monk in Thailand, they don't eat dinner. So they don't eat dinner. So then, like, indirectly, how they become big? instead of saying eating something, then you hint, applying.
That's an affirming negative.
Like when you ask how's your day and somebody says not bad.
Not so bad.
That's an affirming.
Yeah, exactly. There's many things that we use like, yeah. So the not so bad means it's good. But instead of saying, oh, it's good, you know, and not so bad, you know. So like.
But you're talking about when we.
See, now emptiness is.
Non-affirming.
You understand? Emptiness is non-affirming negative. That's important. Non-affirming negative here, so what it calls...
It doesn't imply...
So see...
Non-compounded space?
See, there's one of them. There's a non-compounding space, cessations.
Past, future, subtle selflessness of persons.
These are all non-affirming
negative.
Negative. See, if you want, I think the emptiness is non-affirming negative, so that's important. So a lot of people get confused. They thought, emptiness is affirming, negative. So that means you don't understand emptiness. Because you know, when people meditate on emptiness, sometimes they say, emptiness is affirming, negative. That's wrong. Emptiness is non-affirming, negative. So a lot of people get kind of confused. No? So that's my whole point. So other than that, there's nothing much to...
Another example using Patrick about a non-affirming? Like, I don't really understand non-affirming. So, is there anything non-affirming besides these things?
Yeah.
A room without a cat.
I'll use a tiger.
Yeah.
Okay. The two state is one is that is not a tiger in the cage.
Yeah, Patty, go ahead.
And the other is, there is no tiger in the cage.
Tiger, the first one, please say first one.
That is not a tiger in the cage.
Huh?
It is, that's an affirming negative. It's implying that what you're seeing is
not tiger.
Is not a tiger, but it's you're seeing something.
Huh?
Whereas if you say there is no tiger in the cage, that it could be it's that's not affirming. It's not implying
that it's.
There may be something, there may not be something, but it's...
In your language, did you distinguish that or no? In English? No, no, like, do you talk about that, like, say, or instead of saying, I'm good, not so bad? Is that, like...
I think in logic, there's
no... Is there any way the difference between not so bad and good?
Yeah, so is not so bad non-affirming or affirming?
So I'm not sure, like, I'm asking you...
That's affirming.
Yeah.
Not so good is affirming.
Yeah.
I mean, not so bad. It's not so good affirming.
They're both affirming.
So a non-affirming is just saying...
It doesn't imply anything in its place, right? Like, that is there is no tiger in the cage, right? That doesn't imply there is anything in the cage, or there could be something other than a tiger in the cage, right?
But it doesn't imply.
It doesn't imply anything at all. It just... You know, like that. if you just say how you're doing and you don't say anything at all, I guess that's non-affirming, right? I mean,
no, no. What is important here? What is important is to understand emptiness is
non-affirming.
Yeah, non-affirming negative. So that's important to understand. Emptiness is not forming negative. It's like non-affirming negative. So that's important because people do get confused. Some people, when they meditate on emptiness, they say, oh, maybe emptiness is forming negative. So that misunderstands emptiness.
Okay, so then that's why I'm being so difficult. So I think in that way, if I apply it to emptiness, then the non-affirming is I am meditating on what's not there. Was not there.
Hmm. So see,
to meditate on on emptiness in a non-affirming negative means I'm empty. I'm meditating on what's not there. Although I don't know why it's called a non-affirming negative.
Empty of inherent existence. Empty of inherent existence and emptiness. So see. Empty of inherent existence. What is that? That's like non-forming negative or forming negative?
Non-affirming,
non-affirming.
Yes, let's go back and read the definition for this in the
Svatantika
school.
Yeah, okay.
Would that be helpful?
Yeah, sure, sure.
In the Svatantika school, when we looked at this, is on page 5. The definition of a negative phenomena is a phenomena realized by means of eliminating its object of negation by the mind holding it.
Right.
And so then there are two types of negatives, the non-affirming negatives and the affirming negatives. And the non-affirming negatives, they only give examples, and we just talked about them, non-compounded space, true cessation, and emptiness.
Mm.
But the example of an affirming negative that they give is the reverse of a non-thing and the appearance of the reverse of the non-pot. Remember all of that stuff. And so that seems to me to say that the affirming negative does just like these guys were talking about, it implies something, but the non-affirming
doesn't imply it at all.
Yeah.
So
I don't know if that helps.
Would that be something like the absence of a no elephant?
Can I read?
Oh, I guess.
So now this is like, it really get complicated. It really get complicated because, place without elephant, place as a, larger than the Sajjana. Yeah, place without elephant, that's like non-affirming negative. Place without elephant, or place that's empty of elephant. So far we should not get into that. So probably move on. It's getting more and more complicated.
Actually, you know, if you're interested, Jeffrey Hopkins, around page 720, he actually talks about, I mean, he has examples, and what Geshe-la is talking about emptiness being how it's non-affirming and so forth and so on. So
yeah.
It's actually really good.
So need to remember that, sorry to say, but there's so many definitions to remember in order to make it clear. So definition of non-affirming, negative, definition of affirming, negative, so much to remember. So now, we'll move on. Yeah. Today?
Ultimate truth.
So I will not say more because it gets more confused. Ultimate truth.
Ultimate truth, reality, and subtle selflessness of phenomena are mutually inclusive. The Svatantrika Svatantrika Madhyamaka assert that the five sense objects, form, etc. are of different entities from consciousness. And they are gross external objects. The five sense objects are of different entities from consciousness, and they are gross external objects composed of partless particles.
So everything now is one after another. It's quite understood. Oh, very good. Yeah. So then please move.
Yeah, so the Yogacara Svatantrika Madhyamakas assert that the five sense objects, form, etc., are one entity with the consciousness apprehending them.
Oh, yeah. So then please move.
The mode of asserting object possessors. The Svatantrika Madhyamakas assert a group of six consciousnesses. And that the mental consciousness is the illustration of the person.
Oh, yeah, mental consciousness, you know. So that's the Madhyamaka thought. That's something important to remember, okay?
There are two types of mind, valid cognizers and non-valid cognizers.
Before what you said in the beginning?
Oh, sorry. The Svatantrika Madhyamakas assert a group of six consciousnesses.
Eight consciousness. There's only mind, only school. Only out of this four system, mind, only school talk about eight consciousness. Other than everything, the Nagya Sutra. This is pretty easy.
And that the mental consciousness is the illustration of the person. And there are two types of mind, valid cognizers and non-valid cognizers.
That's the old one.
There are two types of valid cognizers. Valid direct perceivers and valid inferential cognizers. The Svatantrika Svatantrika Madhyamaka do not assert self-cognizing direct perceivers. And the Yogacara Svatantrika Madhyamakas assert all four types of direct perceivers.
All four means like self, self knower, yogic perceiver, direct perceiver, then that's like self direct perceiver, self mental direct perceiver, yogic perceiver, self knower, all four of them.
And self cognizing direct perceivers and yogic direct perceivers are pervaded by non mistaken consciousness. The other two types of direct perceivers have instances of both mistaken and non-mistaken consciousnesses.
So different here, the self-knower, you understood? Huh? Understood?
Mm-hmm.
We'll go like this then. Huh? Steve, understood?
Yeah.
Huh? yeah. So what do you think? Do I need to explain this or is understood? Let's go. The ring was in the Nanjing was the two Nanjing was in the maturity with chapter. Okay, can you read again a little bit the effort for the direct perceiver?
They assert all four types of direct perceivers.
All type of four direct perceivers. Then
self-cognizing direct perceivers and yogic direct perceivers are pervaded by non-mistaken consciousness.
See, that makes sense. Oh, yeah.
So the other two types of direct perceivers.
Other two is like sensory direct perceivers and mental direct perceivers. Yes, both. That's clear.
So the other two have instances of both mistaken and non-mistaken.
Okay, that's clear. Yeah. Yeah, see? Doesn't you go?
Svatantrika, Chittamatra, and Svatantrika all assert that direct perceivers are pervaded by non-conceptual consciousnesses.
That's pretty much the same, isn't it?
That subsequent cognizers are pervaded by non-valid cognizers.
Pretty much the same, all the rest of the school, huh?
That consciousness is mistaken with respect to their determined objects are pervaded by wrong consciousness.
No, there's a definition of that. That's pretty clear. Huh?
That if it is a mistaken consciousness with respect to a phenomenon, it is necessary a non-valid mind with respect to that phenomenon.
Jabayana rangin mayula tsema mayin bichabal kinimi. Jabayana rangin mayula tsema mayin bichabal kinimi.
That if it is an inferential cognizer, it is necessarily a non-valid mind with respect to its appearing object.
So what do you think? It's pretty clear?
Except for the last part, Geshe-la. An inferential cognizer, that if it is an inferential cognizer, necessarily a non-valid mind. With because the mind is mistaken, because it sees... something is inherently
existent? Valid inferential cognizer that is valid.
There can be new and then it's new and in class.
There's two types of object. One object that appears object. One is object that been apprehended.
Yeah.
Apprehended.
Yeah.
What is it called?
This appearing object.
There's the generic image, right? There's the appearing object and then
there's...
Earlier it said that there are two types of mind, there are two types of valid cognizers, valid direct perceivers, and valid inferential cognizers. So I'm thinking in this last sentence, it's saying is that an inferential cognizer it's defining, it's saying if there's a, if it's an inferential cognizer, is that already saying that it's not valid? I'm just, it seems like it.
So now the petty last part. Last part was okay. If there's something is like, what's the last part? What did we say? If something is the last part, this
an inferential cognizer, then that means it's not valid. And
no, that's what he says here. What he says here, but Jeba, you know. If it is inferential.
Necessarily a non-valid mind with respect to its appearing object.
So that makes sense?
Well, I'm just, it seems to me like it's just making it, it's making a definition. It's just, or just saying that if it's inferential, it's, as opposed to being valid, it's necessarily not valid with respect to its appearing object.
Yeah, the point is that appearing object, so right before this, please read before that.
If it is a mistaken consciousness.
Wrong consciousness. What is it? Wrong consciousness there?
Pervaded by not. The consciousness mistaken with respect to their determined objects are pervaded by wrong consciousness.
Okay. Here, there's two things. Determined object. That's the one. Determined object and appearance object. There's two of them. Determined object. Okay. Inferential cognizer. They are not.
Inferential cognizer.
Yeah.
Necessarily a non-valid mind with respect to its appearing object.
Respect to its appearing object, not like respect to the determined object. Okay, respect to determined object. So there has to be different. Refers to determined object.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Yeah, refers to, there's two objects, determined object and appearing object. Refers to regard to has a determined object, they are valid cognizers. Refers to appearance object, they are not valid. Make sense?
I mean, I can understand those two definitions, but I don't know what a determined object or an appearing object is.
Determined object be based on reason?
Yeah, determined object, exactly. Because on top of the mountain, there's fire because there's smoke. So then following the smoke, then you know there's fire on the mountains. That is determined object. Appearing object could be generic?
Generic image.
Generic image. That is appearance object. This is his heart.
If I remember,
I was just going to say that the usual, back in the beginning, the valid inferential cognizers, it's all about realizing the impermanence of sound and those kinds of things.
Right.
Those are not appearing objects.
Yeah, these are like determined objects.
Right.
Shinyu Kostei, determined objects.
So that's what they're getting at, that they're non-valid because you can't have inferential cognizers with an appearing object that's valid.
Yeah, they are not valid regarding to the appearing object.
Right.
But they are valid refers to the determined object. Sound is impermanent, exactly, because they found that sound is impermanent based on reason. They followed the reason, they found sound is impermanent. Yeah, that's kind of complex. It's called Xinyu, Nangyu, Jugyu. There's many different types of objects. So that's why, if something is inferential cognizer,
it is necessarily a non-valid mind.
Yeah, non-valid mind.
With respect to
the appearance object, not object, no. Which refers to appearance object.
Yeah, with respect to its appearing object.
determined object, that's only the conceptual thought has that object, not the direct perceiver. Direct perceiver, you don't talk about determined object. You only talk about determined object with the conceptual thought. There's no direct perceiver, there's no such a things like object called determined object. Determined object only, how I say, the conceptual thought has. Appearance object, determined object. So they are unmistaken, they are valid. When it's come down on determined object, they are valid. When it's come down on appearance object, they are not valid. Unmistaken, that's like direct perceive, that's the definition of direct perceive, right? Direct perceive, unmistaken. So then, conceptual thought, they are, conceptual thought are mistaken. Does it ring any bell?
Yes.
Yeah. Mistaken, not regard to the determined object. Determined object, they are not mistaken. But they are mistaken regard to what object? Appearance object. Because appearance object is generic image. So they see generic image or mental image, whatever you call. They see that is a prayer wheel. So they get kind of mistaken between the actual prayer wheel and the mental image of prayer wheel. They are mistaken, but they are totally different. The mental image is not the prayer wheel. Prayer wheel is, you know, this is the prayer wheel. But you have the mental image of prayer wheel and you think, not there is no, the conceptual, you think, oh, that's prayer will, but actually that is not prayer will. That's the generic image. That is appearance object. You are mistaken.
No? So I think, Geshe-la, when we were discussing, I think, Shatantrika, we had kind of, I think at the time you had said that for a direct perceiver, the appearing object and the object of apprehension are the same.
Yeah.
Right, so with a direct perception, my eye consciousness sees the prayer wheel. It's the appearing object, and the appearing object of the prayer wheel and the object of apprehension of the prayer wheel are the same. But if we are using conceptual awareness, then the appearing object and the object of apprehension are two different things.
Determined object.
And so when I see the prayer wheel, what appears to me is a generic image, but the object of apprehension is actually something else.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what you're talking about here. That's why it's not non-valid, because we're seeing the appearing object, not the object of apprehension.
Yeah. So you are valid towards the real prayer will, but you are not valid when it comes down to a mental image or generic image.
Yeah.
That is appearance object.
Yeah.
That's not determined object. You are unmistaken, refers to the determined object, but you are mistaken.
With the appearing object.
Yeah, refers to appearing object. Make sense? John, make sense? Yeah.
Could I ask?
Because determined object, that's only with the conceptual thought. Direct perceiver does not have determined object. It has only appearance object. Negotiable appearance object, every mind has appearance object. Determined object, that's like very particular object that associates only with conceptual thought. Appearance object, every mind has appearance object. But determined object, that's only for conceptual thought. So then object of apprehension has object of...
The inferential cognitive, it is necessarily a non-valid mind with respect to its appearing object.
Yeah, with respect to not object. If it says with respect to the object, then that's mistaken. But with respect to the appearance object, that's correct. Because this is mistaken, right?
Yeah.
Inferential cognizer is mistaken. So they're mistaken with what? What object?
The appearing object.
Yeah, so there's only the appearance object, not to the determined object, because they are unmistaken with the determined object, because they are valid. Valid, you have to be unmistaken, right? New, the Sunday, Sadhu Milu Ripa.
New, incontrovertible.
Yeah, unmistaken. So it's unmistaken towards the determined object, because you are, if you are, because you are valid. If you are valid towards something, you have to be unmistaken. Otherwise, can't be valid. But in the same time, you are mistaken refers to the appearance of that. You are mistaken because you are confused. You thought that is prayer will, and it does not prayer will. It's just generic image or mental image. That's what it is. That's called meaning generalities. This is the fancy word called meaning generalities, tenji. So you think, oh, that is, that's the meaning, but it's not meaning. It's called meaning generality, called tenji. It's not the meaning. Meaning is the object. It's just a true meaning. So,
could I just ask a question? Okay, so going back to the example of the smoke on the mountain, you find a determined object that there is fire.
Right, right.
But the mental image of fire would be the
appearing
object. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So then if you think, oh, there's fire, that's mistaken. That's not fire. It's just mental image. It's just idea. It's your idea. Huh? So now, what do you think, Patty? Is clear? Yeah. So this is important. It refers to the appearance object. This is important. Otherwise, there will be all the influential cognizer will be mistaken. Then that means invalid. So that's not right. Right? So then you left with only valid mind is like direct perceiver. That's not true. So then you are saying like, oh, there's no valid mind in conceptual at all. All the conceptual mind is invalid. No, it's valid, but it's mistaken. The first is not mistaken, it's not to the determined object, it's mistaken to the appearance object. It's necessary. Oh. So then, maybe move on a little bit, so then I'll stop now. So number six.
Yeah, the mode of asserting selflessness.
Mm.
They assert a gross selflessness of persons, that is a person's emptiness of being permanent, partless, and independent.
So you understand that? So can you say slowly?
Yeah. A gross selflessness of persons. That is a person's emptiness of being permanent.
The person's emptiness of being permanent. That's like permanent. That's one. Isn't it?
Partless.
Touching. That's the second one.
And independent.
Three. No. So, non-Buddhist theory, they believe, Hinduism, they talk about Atma, soul, that's like eternal, it's not changing. So that's concept of self, something that's unchanging, permanent, eternal, that's one. And then says, okay, independent, doesn't have some believe the self is permanent, it won't change. Or some believe self is,
partless.
Partless, means it doesn't have any part.
Independent.
Independent. Say independent, not dependent on aggregate. Not dependent on aggregate. See that all the aggregates, see the aggregate is like employees, and the self is like employer. Seeing like that, so there's like no relationship. That's wrong, So that's the gross selflessness. So the second one,
a subtle selflessness of persons, that is a person's emptiness of being self-supporting or substantially existent.
So that's so that is like that's mainly refers to the seeing aggregate as an employee like something to use. Something to use. The self is like the one that's using. No, that's not. It's like different. No? Then that's what it is mainly. Second one.
The Yogacara, Svatantrika, Madhyamakas assert a gross selflessness of phenomena that is a form, and its form apprehending valid cognizers, emptiness of being other substances.
So we already studied that in the mind-only schools, if you remember that. So there's in mind-only school, there's like subtle sadness in the phenomena. And here, there's like gross, you know, because now it's getting more kind of sophisticated, or more it's the understanding of impermanent emptiness improving. So therefore, in this Madhyamika Sarastantika, this is considered as a gross selflessness of phenomena. Even though in the mind-only school, they consider that is like subtle selflessness of phenomena, and when it comes to next Madhyamika, that's considered as a gross, no? So, you know? So then, subtle selflessness is something else. The mind-only school, they don't even not able to apprehend. The second one.
And a subtle selflessness of phenomena that is all phenomena's emptiness of true existence.
So that's not the either all phenomena empty of
emptiness of true existence.
There's a problem. All phenomena, when you say all phenomena emptiness of true existence, the mind only will have problem because they do assert, you know, emptiness of true existence, not just and also that. Now I don't remember, it's called Shewang, called the powering phenomena. Do you remember this?
Other power phenomena. That's what you're talking about?
Yeah, other power phenomena. Emptiness and other power phenomena, they are truly exist. You can't show that because of that, all the phenomena empty up.
Empty of true existence?
That doesn't exist. In mind-only school, they can apprehend. Because their problem, because their emptiness is truly exists. So when you say all phenomena, there's no, then the other powering phenomena, this also truly exists. All this is truly exists. No? What is not truly exists is another one. Sinisum. I think we already write it down. Called Shewa. Other powering phenomena, Yongdup, this emptiness. Kunda, that's like, you know, another one. That's the last one. That's called Sinisum. No need to look. So all the power, if you already took note, we spend a lot of time there.
Yeah, thoroughly established phenomena, dependent phenomena, and imputed phenomena. Right?
The imputed phenomena, that's the only mind, only school, does not exist, truly exist. So other two phenomena, they are truly exist. Because of that, all the phenomena empty up, truly exist, and that is not going to be senselessness of some phenomena at all, because they don't, they have problems, no? So now, so that, you know, sudden emptiness, they are not able to apprehend because their understanding of emptiness is limited. You know, so now here it's getting better, you know. See? Yeah. So there, sudden phenomena is like the first one.
Yeah, the form and its form apprehending valid cognizers, emptiness of being other substances.
That's all they can think of. That's emptiness. There's no subtle emptiness in that, that they cannot think. Huh? Yes,
that's their emptiness. That's their...
Subtle.
Well, this definition, these three things, they assert the gross selflessness of phenomena that is a form, and its form apprehending valid cognizes emptiness of being other substances. That sounds like mind-only school.
In mind-only school, they accept, but for them, it's not gross, they're subtle.
Right. But so they see, they... Feel, they, do they have that same belief that they're made out of the same seed? This is their gross. This one seed splits into object and mind.
In this school?
In this one.
No.
That's what it sounds like here.
In mind only school, that's exactly what they say. No, because one tendency split.
Right.
That's why they are same substance. And here.
This thing being empty of being other substances.
Yeah, they are talk about empty of being, how is it?
Other substance.
Yeah, other substance, but other...
That's an affirming negative. So they're the same substance.
Yeah, they are same substance. Yeah, same substance. In the mind only school, because same substance, because one tendency is divided.
Right.
So here it's a little bit different. Okay. There are even one substance, but their explanation is much more deeper, a little bit subtler, you know.
Okay.
Subtler, no?
Different substance, but different than mind only, but they're the same.
Same substance, but different way of explaining. The mind only school says that one tendency is divided, but there's gross explanations.
Okay.
So here, you know. So because of that, in the mind only school, there is subtle sadness, a phenomena. When it's come here, it's like gross.
Okay.
Because there's more subtler.
Oh, okay.
More subtler. This next one is much subtler, which mind only school cannot even get their head around.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, see. Oh.
Lower mind
chakra. Oh, yeah. The
two subtle substances are differentiated according to their objects of negation and not according to their bases of emptiness.
See, now here, in the, this Madhyamika Sahasrantika, can you read this again, please?
The two subtle selflessnesses are differentiated according to their objects of negation.
See, that's how they differentiate here. Not in the Prasangika system, that's not how they differentiate. They are also opposite, totally opposite. And like, say,
and not according to their basis of emptiness. They're differentiated according to their objects of negation and not according to their basis of emptiness.
Yeah, so
this is because the refutation of the object of negation, true existence upon the base person, is the upon the base person is a subtle selflessness of phenomena, and the refutation of self-supporting substantially existence upon the base person is the subtle selflessness of persons.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's quite clear.
Really, there isn't any real inherent difference between self and phenomena.
Oh, it makes sense?
Because otherwise, you're dichotomizing. Okay.
Does that make sense? It makes sense?
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, very good. See? Yeah, very good. Other thing is getting better,
They say that self is not a phenomenon. It's like solipsistic almost.
Oh, very good.
Everything's coming back. No, you're a phenomenon just like a chair is. And, you know, you have no more right to existence, in a sense, than a chair does.
Huh? You have no right to exist?
Now you're confused.
Yeah, you have no... Your existence is no more valid than a chair. It's just, you know, your existence is a phenomenon. You are a phenomenon. You can't deny...
You can't deny that you are a phenomenon. That's very true.
Make this dichotomy, it's only to help you reason it out. It isn't because it's really there, because that's sort of like self-centered.
Yeah, very good. Well said. What do you think? Well said. Yeah, very. Let's go on. So, see.
I think the other translation's a little clearer.
No, so the... There's two selflessness, right? Understand? Selflessness of person and selflessness of phenomena, two selflessness. Differentiates
by way of the object of negation.
Yeah, differentiates based on the object of negation. Based on object of negation.
The person and phenomena. So
the
object of negation. Okay.
There's no difference based on
the basis of emptiness.
The basis of emptiness, which is one is phenomena, one is person, right? See? Because you can't talk about selflessness of phenomena based on person. Person? You use person as a basis.
Mm-hmm.
You can use person as a basis. You can talk about selflessness as a phenomena. You can talk about selflessness as a person. Both. If you differentiate those selflessness as a phenomena and the selflessness as a person, you cannot base on person. See, you understand? I did start in the middle of my sentence. I was wondering that whether you understood or not. So see, okay, can you read this again? Let me read this. Look,
yeah, I'm going to read from the other translation because I think it's clear.
Other parts, yeah. Yeah.
The two subtle selflessnesses are differentiated by way of the object of negation and not by way of the basis of emptiness.
Why?
Because the refutation of the object of negation... true establishment.
No. So we'll just make it clear. So, because, why?
The refutation of
Because you can talk based on one thing, based on self, okay? Based on self, you can talk about those both emptiness.
Oh, okay.
See?
You can.
Okay. Because of that, they are not differentiated based on basis. If the difference is based on basis, you cannot talk about two types of emptiness on one base, person. See? That's clear.
Can you give some examples? Because it's saying you cannot, I'm getting all mixed up.
You're differentiating according to their objects of negation, so according to person or object.
So differentiate based on the object to negate, object of negation, that's how they differentiate between selflessness as a phenomena and the selflessness as a person. There's two types, right? To differentiate based on the object to be negated, not differentiate based on the basis. If the difference is based on the basis, then you cannot talk about two types of emptiness based on a person.
Okay, so what's the basis then? That you cannot. You're saying you cannot on the basis of the basis.
Maybe they could read the medicine. Yeah.
The two subtle selflessnesses are differentiated by way of the object of negation and not by way of the basis of the emptiness.
Huh?
Because the refutation of the object of negation, true establishment, upon the basis of a person, is the subtle selflessness of phenomena.
See, there's one.
While the refutation of self-sufficient substantial existence upon the basis of a person is the subtle selflessness of persons.
There's on one basis. There's basis on the person. See? Understand?
Not really.
I couldn't just...
A person or a table. So it's, I think it's almost too simple. We're making it so complicated. You're either, but then you get into this thing about you can do two in one thing, and that's where I lost you.
There's
two emptiness. Selflessness of phenomena, selflessness of person. Let's say this is a person. Let's just take an example. This is a person. Okay. Huh? No, the real person that you can't see is getting really confused now. So let's say this is a person, example, this is a person. If this two emptiness is differentiated by basis, so then this is, as I take example, this is a person. So there will be, you can only talk about one type of emptiness here. Yeah, you cannot talk about emptiness of selflessness here. Right? Now understand? Yeah, emptiness of person you can talk because this base is a person. You cannot talk about other selflessness of phenomena. Other type of emptiness, selflessness of phenomena. You cannot talk about here. No, no, don't say a book, this is a person. If there's two types of selflessness, one is a selflessness of person, one is a selflessness of phenomena. This is not differentiated by basis.
But
basis is a person.
Yeah, person.
The basis is a person.
And we are taking this example based on a person. Because now, say, another way to say, these two types of emptiness is not differentiated by basis, because you can, you can talk about two types of emptiness in one base. Make sense?
Yes.
Okay. But they are differentiated. It says they are
differentiated. They are differentiated by object to be negated, not by the basis. So that's what we're trying to understand. It's differentiated by?
Yeah, by way of the object of negation.
Yeah, well, this object of negated, right? That's how they be differentiated. Understand?
So what are the two objects of negation then?
No, there's no two object of negation. There's no two object. There's like object of negations.
But you have...
Not two, what is be differentiated by two types of selflessness, two types of emptiness, right? Huh? You understand? So, for me, it's so easy.
So the basis would either be person or phenomena. The negation of the object would be the emptiness, right?
Yeah.
So when you talk about emptiness of person, person as a basis, that's the only way you can talk about that. It is based on the person. But if you talk about negation of the person, it's basically the same as negation of the phenomena, right? No? Halfway there. I'm almost there.
Okay. I guess it's really, really simple, Gesho. There's either selflessness of phenomena or selflessness of person. Done. They're both empty, so that's what they have in common.
No. Now that when we debate, so there's two types of selflessness, right? Why they are not differentiated by basis? Now you have to say something.
Because
you need to say.
The overlap is emptiness. They both are empty.
So?
I don't know. Why? Say the question again.
There's two types of emptiness, selflessness of phenomena and selflessness of person.
Right.
These are not differentiated by basis. Why?
By their basis of emptiness.
Why? So I try to explain that, so I'm not sure that...
Because both, you can find emptiness in both persons and phenomena. So it's not, you're not differentiating that they're both empty. You're differentiating that one is phenomena and one is person. And so what you're negating from one is the inherent existence of person, and what you're negating in the other is inherent existence of phenomena. But what they are both in common is their
emptiness. So then why they are not, these two types of emptiness, not differentiated by basis?
Because then you can't find two in one or something, you said.
This exactly, I'm trying to explain. Then you cannot find two in one. That's exactly what it means. That's exactly. Therefore, they are not differentiated by basis. If they are differentiated by basis, you cannot find this two in one. That's exactly. You got that right. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm trying to say. Now understand?
I'm closer. It's good.
I guess okay.
No, you understand, or you.
No, here's my understanding of it.
Why you said that you cannot find two in one? Why you said that?
Why did I say?
Oh.
You can find two in one.
If they are differentiated by basis, then you cannot find two in one.
Right.
Why?
Can I give you more? Big
yeah.
Answer? Okay. So
I thought that is the answer. Yeah, you can give more. Yeah.
This is the only way I can answer that. You taught us when we meditate on emptiness to start with self. Meditate on self first.
Exactly right.
If you can find emptiness of self, then everything else is there in the package. You will find emptiness of phenomena if you find emptiness of self. And I don't know why exactly.
Yeah, you said it well. two in one. That's the answer, but the how, that now you...
How? Because they're both empty. They both are empty of inherent existence.
Senna, you understand?
The whole two-in-one thing we're not getting,
if,
right?
If you are, these two types of emptiness, if you are differentiated, that if that is differentiated by basis, they have to have two bases, two different bases. Whenever you talk about those two types of emptiness, you have to have two bases. That's another case. You can't, you could, you can talk about two types, you can find two-in-one. That's
so,
exactly.
So you can find emptiness.
You have to have two to find two. You don't have to have two bases to find two emptiness. You can find one base, you can find two emptiness. Because of that, there are no differences by bases.
So what you're saying is that you can find both the emptiness of self and the emptiness of phenomena in the person.
In the person.
In the person.
Therefore, and these are not differences by bases.
Right. They're differences by the base, object of negation.
If they are differences by base, they have to have two different bases.
Right.
See?
Can you find emptiness of person in looking at the emptiness of phenomena?
Huh?
Can you find emptiness of person when you see when you look at the emptiness of phenomena?
No,
you can't find.
What you're asking is, if you're looking at phenomena, can you find the two, emptiness of person and emptiness of phenomena?
Is the two in one also there, or is only in person?
No, generally speaking, you can talk about two types of emptiness in one base.
There's a selflessness of person in that book.
Huh? No, this book itself, this is not just book.
Okay, in this
yeah.
Is there a selflessness of person in this cup?
No.
Yeah.
No, we are not talking every phenomenon. No. There's self. Self is the base. Self, you could find selflessness of self in the self, right? You could find also selflessness of phenomena in the self.
But not the other way around. Can't find selflessness of phenomena in all phenomena and selflessness of self in a phenomena.
You know, you cannot find the selflessness of a person here. You cannot find.
Right.
Because
find the self.
Yeah, self.
That was my question.
Two in one, then it's only in the self.
Only in the self.
That was my original question.
So that's well said. That's well. So see, I think
that's why I said you told us to meditate.
She said the two in one. So I got really excited. That's the answer. So it's like if that emptiness, the two types of emptiness, but differentiated by the basis, you have to have two bases: phenomena, which is not self, and the self. That's the only way you can talk about two types of emptiness. That's another case. You could talk about within the self. You could talk about two types of emptiness.
We never talk about this two in one before.
Yeah,
we're always clearly talking about these two things, right?
Yeah. So that's exactly. We never talk about the two in one. They never talk about that before. Yeah. So now here, one thing to understand: so these two types of emptiness is not differentiated by basis. Why? You can find two in one.
Only in self.
Only in self.
That's really important.
That's only in self.
People are looking forward somewhere in
self. No. That's really important. The self. I'm sorry. Only in self. If they are differentiated by basis, you cannot find two in one at all.
Yeah.
Anywhere, even the self, you know. See?
Yeah.
It's clear now. Oh, this is worth it now. I keep saying they're so easy, but nobody believes me. So everybody says, oh, no. I said this many times, it's so easy, but nobody believes me. It's difficult. So now, eventually, not everybody believes. That's good. So then your understanding will improve. So that's worth it. So, you know, that's the result of the debate. You sit back and forth, again, back and forth. Eventually, then you understand, okay, now this is what. If there are differences by basis, you cannot find two in one at all, even in the self, you know. So you can, because you could find two types of emptiness in the self, therefore, you don't have to have two different bases to talk about these two types of emptiness. You see? Clear? Yeah. Now this is a good good time to stop. Yeah, thank you very much for all the energy. That's good. That's worth it. Huh? The one thing to keep in your mind now here, like these two types of selflessness is differentiated by objects being negated, right? Pasankika, that's different, because now everything is getting, how I say, subtler and subtler and subtler and subtler, and then, the homework, maybe talk about this. Has the affirming negative, non-affirming negative? Please go back to the Sanskritic school. Maybe talk a little bit about that. It's good. It's important because we have to understand the emptiness is non-affirming negative. That's very important because a lot of people they get confused. They think, oh, there's like affirming negative, which is not correct. No, so then. I'm happy to see the Sangha show some actions. There's the debating actions. Yeah. Yeah. So that when you debate, your mind it has to be, but your face looks like Rocky Mountain, but your heart is like pure as a snow mountain, no?
Thank you, guys. Thank you.